Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the Acts of the Apostles, from the passage listed as being chapter 3. So beginning with the passage referenced as being the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave them heed, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So returning now to the beginning of this passage, which is listed as being chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Interesting that they should do so, because again, as I have referenced before, this is remarkable. Jesus was suffered to teach in the temple by the very ones who conspired for so long against him to destroy him, by the high priests, the chief priests, the chief rulers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders, the doctors of the law, the officers of the temple. There was just, it was nothing short of miraculous that they suffered him to do that. He went up repeatedly into the temple in Jerusalem and taught the people and worked miracles. But they did not know what they could do to prevent it. They didn't allow it out of the goodness of their hearts. They simply did not know what to do. And they had not managed to finalize plans for kidnapping him and doing away with him. But following having taken him and demanded his crucifixion, having succeeded with that, having succeeded with having him murdered by the Roman authorities, his having been raised from the dead and then ascended into heaven 40 days thereafter, the apostles, the ones appointed, tutored, trained, taught, led by the Lord to lead the church, they continued this practice of using the temple, the Jewish temple, to preach and teach the Jewish people. And the leaders of the temple suffered it to be so. They did not know what they could do to stop it, to prevent it. In time to come, very shortly after this, they would grievously persecute and afflict and attempt to destroy the church by attempting to destroy its leadership, even as they had done in seeking to destroy the Lord Jesus. But Peter and John, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, the hour when their presence would be the most noticeable and the greatest affront to the Jewish leadership, the Jewish hierarchy. And a man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. What a remarkable identifier, name for this gate of the temple, Beautiful. That is a term that's not merely an expression with regard to appearance, but an expression of love. And he was there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He was taken there at that pivotal time of day when the most people are coming in to ask alms of them, to beg from them, because it would be the most fruitful time to do so. Well, it happened to be the right place at the right time for this man who had suffered for his entire life. And he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, on the verge of going into the temple, and he asked an alms. He begged from them that they would give him something. And Peter, fastening his eyes, Peter looking intently, staring upon this man, and John doing so also, Peter spoke, "Look on us." He doesn't say, "Look at me, look on me." He says, "Look on us, both of us, Peter and John." And this man, this beggar, this lame man who has been lame all of his life. No, it's not that he has a hitch in his walk. It's not that he has difficulty walking. He is completely, utterly, totally unable to walk. He has to be carried to the temple. And this has been his lot all of his life. If he had been born into a family that was well off, that was well to do, that perchance would have been Levites, despite his being disabled, despite his not being able to walk, much less to do all manner of work, he could have learned, could have perhaps become a doctor of the law. He could not have performed all manner of services in the temple, but he could have learned. Couldn't he? But he never had that advantage. He never had that opportunity. Nor did he learn some sort of a trade that he could carry out while seated on the floor or what have you. Born into poverty and cursed with a life of suffering in poverty. There are many such people in this world. There are children born in some parts of this world whose parent or parents or others will even do terrible things to them so that they can make a living as a beggar. In dark places, spiritually dark places in this world, such things take place. And yet, any number of people in the enlightened nations, the developed, highly developed nations, the more sophisticated, intellectual nations, many people choose to adopt the false religions from such spiritually dark places and to view such things as signs of their sophistication and their intellectual superiority. Such are the incredible, futile, vain ways of foolish people. But Peter and John are before this man who is beneath them, literally, physically beneath them, on the ground, begging an alms of them for them to give him something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." I find it interesting that whereas previously Peter said, "Look on us, look upon this man, John, the Apostle John, and myself," now he says, "Such as I have." He doesn't say "such as we have." I don't know why not. I'm sure there are some learned theologians out there who can explain that. But "such as I have give I thee." Following saying, "Silver and gold have I none." Again, using the descriptive word "I" instead of "we." Understandably, he's the only one that's speaking, but I don't know why he shifted to that. Because certainly this is true of both he and John. "Silver and gold have we not," I would have thought he would have said, "but such as we have give we thee." Here, these two among the innermost inner circle of the three of Peter, James, and John. But he says, "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He says this to a man who has never walked, never been able to rise up. And he commands him to rise up and walk. Remarkable, isn't it? Really? This is a beggar. This is a Jewish man, presumably, but he's put here outside, immediately adjacent to the beautiful gate. And this has been going on for so long. Can you imagine that? As we learn later, this man is more than 40 years of age. Can you imagine the despair? If he had ever had hope in his life, it has been beaten down. It has been crushed. It has been destroyed. Surely he has no hope whatsoever of ever being lifted up out of this terrible lot in life. All he is looking for, hoping for, is they will give him some little token amount. A love offering, you could say. But just a gift of mercy. But Peter says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter took this man by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately this man's feet and ankle bones received strength. Received strength. This isn't a matter of muscular strength. This is a matter of the bones in his feet and his ankles being made whole and able to support his weight. It is also a matter of the muscles, the tendons, the ligaments, all of them together ones that have, of course, only withered over time, only wasted. There was never a time in which they would have developed from any kind of exercise, the simplest of things, such as walking. Never, ever, for more than 40 years. But immediately his feet and ankle bones received wholeness. It says strength, but again, it's a matter of receiving wholeness, being made whole, and he leaping up. He didn't just stand up. Peter lifted him up, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Leaping, putting stress, putting strain on those feet and ankle bones and everything else. Beyond impossible. And yet, this certainly is a lesser miracle than raising the dead, I would think. And I would think it was also a lesser miracle than giving sight to one who was born blind and is a grown adult who has never seen. All the people saw this man walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. Next to the beautiful gate, the gate of the temple named Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement and astonishment at that which had taken place, at that which had happened unto him, at what had occurred at this incredible miracle. And as the lame man, the formerly lame man, but again, not just with some comparatively minor condition, but crippled from his mother's womb. As this man held Peter and John, embraced Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. These people that ran there, ran together, these are Jews that are in the temple that are praying. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" There are various televangelists, there have been, there are, that claim to be great healers. Every now and then there is, down through the ages, down through history, there has been one or another that God has greatly used. But these televangelists, these sordid ones, they ascribe holiness and power to themselves and live richly and luxuriously and enjoy fame to go with their fortune and fortune to go with their fame. But Peter, he said to these Jews who came pouring in to see what had happened, "Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham," you know, the God who you claim to worship, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. The God of our fathers hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. When he was determined to let him go. Ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You demanded that the Lord Jesus Christ be crucified to death. You demanded that Pontius Pilate release this leader of sedition, this murderer leader of murderous sedition. You demanded that he be released and given to you. And you even went so far as to proclaim an oath against yourselves and your children and your children to follow them. For umpty-ump generations, his blood be on us. His blood be on us and on our children, the blood of Jesus Christ. Ye denied the Holy One and the Just. You desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and you murdered the Prince of Life. Oh, no, brother, that was the Romans that did that. Well, yes, the Romans played a role, undeniably. But as Jesus said, he that delivered me unto you, speaking to Pontius Pilate, he that delivered me unto you hath the greater sin. And yet, oh, so many Jewish leaders and Jewish people who to this day refuse to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of glory. And many of them celebrate Hanukkah and await the return of Elijah, who already returned as John the Baptist. But they await the return of Elijah. They insist, no, the Romans murdered Jesus. We didn't have anything to do with that. That's not our fault. The reason that the Romans torturously executed Jesus was because the Jewish leadership, the Jewish hierarchy, along with the multitudes whom they manipulated, demanded it. And Pontius Pilate was such a weak sister of a leader, such a gutless politician leader, that he went along with it. And was frankly, as far as I'm concerned, weak-minded in that he allowed himself to be persuaded to be afraid of Caesar hearing that he had released Jesus, who made himself out to be a king, supposedly, purportedly, falsely, fraudulently. The Jews claimed that. And instead released a convicted leader of murderous insurrection against the Romans. But he was afraid Caesar would hear about Jesus being released. How about being afraid of Caesar hearing that he had released Barabbas to the Jews? But weak-minded, gutless wonder, Pontius Pilate, politician Pontius Pilate, he complied with the demands, the ferocious demands of the Jewish hierarchy, the Jewish leadership, and the mob that they whipped into a murderous frenzy. It's incredible when you read about it, because the Roman soldiers and centurions, they should have filled the mob with terror. But instead, Pontius Pilate was just an unimaginably weak leader, if you can call that a leader. But you murdered the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We are witnesses that God Almighty raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, his name through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, hath removed this crippling of his feet and ankles that he has suffered with all of his life, and given him strength instantaneously. This man whom ye see and know, you know who he is. You have seen him begging for alms here at the temple, not just for a day or a week or a month, but year upon year, decade upon decade. All of his life. This man whom ye see and know, yea, the faith in the name of Jesus Christ, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, hath given this man, this poor man, perfect soundness, wholeness, and has done so in the presence of all of you here at the temple. Meanwhile, the wonderful leaders of the temple, they could never be bothered to pray for this man. They could never be bothered to try to help this man. All these wonderful, compassionate men of God, these great leaders of God, rest assured, they were embarrassed at this terrible specter, this presence of this poor beggar at the gate which is called Beautiful. What a stigma on that beautiful gate to have this poor beggar begging there for years and years and decades. And now, brethren, I wot, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Really? Ignorance, yes, these people are ignoramuses, but no. To give them a pass, the Lord God Almighty says he will not acquit the wicked. Oh, but they just did it in ignorance. They didn't know what they were doing. They had no knowledge. They had no way of knowing. Even though Jesus had healed the sick, the afflicted, the crippled, the blind from the womb, the lame, the leprous, raised the dead, cast out devils, made these terribly, grievously afflicted people whole and restored and beautified, and had done so for and a half years, there was no way you could know. You here in Jerusalem. Jesus did his works. He worked his works where? In Galilee, in Judea, and also witnessed in Samaria. But the miracles, they took place in Galilee and Judea. And along the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. But miracle upon miracle upon miracle, including raising the dead. There were numerous witnesses to these things. Oh, but you were ignorant, you didn't know. And your rulers, they were ignorant and they didn't know. You know, just like they were ignorant of this poor beggar at the beautiful gate, whom they never bothered to try to help. No. No, Peter here is being entirely too diplomatic. Those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. All of those things, all of those prophecies that God made by his angels through his prophets, through all of his prophets, that the Lord Jesus Christ should suffer, God hath fulfilled. Repent ye therefore. Repent of ignorance? No, repent of your wickedness. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Oh, but we only did it in ignorance. That's not a sin. Ignorance is no excuse, but this, again, is entirely too diplomatic. This claim of ignorance is not valid. It's just not. But repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. These sinners, these wicked ones, these Jews, these are all Jews here in the temple. But they claim, along with their leaders, their really murderous, wicked leaders, they all claim plausible deniability. We didn't know, brother. We just didn't know. Really? Even though Jesus ministered and worked these works and these miracles for 3.5 years, you just didn't know. But repent, be converted, and the Lord shall send Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, God the Father, shall send the Lord Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now, this is rather remarkable, really, I think, because what Peter is referring to is a time that is still at hand. It is still nigh. It is in the future, but it is drawing ever so near to us now, after another 2 millennia. But the Lord, when he returns, it's going to be extreme circumstances upon this earth. And when the Lord returns, he shall not just make everything better instantly. No, something's going to take place before that. When the Lord returns, he's going to destroy this enormous army that Satan has gathered with his minions to destroy Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus shall destroy these destroyers. It's going to be an incredibly violent return, with violence waged against these terrible, heinous, violent destroyers. So I find it curious that Peter refers to that here. But the Lord God Almighty shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. So Peter refers to when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. At the times of restitution of all things. It all sounds sweetness and light. It all sounds just peaceful and what have you. But the Lord Jesus Christ shall return under the most extreme evil circumstances there have ever been on the face of the earth. But Peter, you could say he glosses over that. God Almighty has spoken these prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ by all of his prophets since the world began. Oh, brother, that isn't so. You know, we know better than that. Because, after all, so many Christian colleges, Christian universities teach Darwinian evolution and teach an old earth theory, hypothesis. Oh, this earth is hundreds, even thousands of millions of years old. Well, Peter did not always get it right, just as when he referred to them having had Jesus crucified in ignorance, having done that. But here he gets it right. God has spoken these prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ by the mouth of all of his prophets since the world began. Oh, but he's just a simple fisherman. He doesn't have any idea of all of the sophisticated science and so forth. There is no scientist that has ever existed who has an ounce of sophistication next to God Almighty. But again, you know, the vain fools who pride themselves on their sophistication, who insist on worshiping 300 million plus Hindu gods, so-called, who become Zen Buddhists, who convert to Islam. Oh. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from amongst the Jews, from amongst the Hebrews, of your brethren, like unto me, like unto Moses, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, which will not believe that prophet, which will not heed that prophet, shall be destroyed from among the people. Oh, brother, we're all going to be saved. All of us. It doesn't matter whether we believe in Jesus. We will all be saved if there is such a thing as salvation, if there is such a thing as heaven. We will all get there. We will all be gathered in. No, not according to this little matter of God's word. That will not be the case. If you want to persuade yourselves, if we want to believe these fantasies, these lies, we can. But not with impunity. We will suffer the consequences. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel. Samuel, the prophet priest. All the prophets from Samuel. And those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets. Ye are the children of the covenant which God Almighty made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. I've mentioned this time and again, but I'll mention it again. This is something that is specific to the United States of America, but also is manifest elsewhere in the world. It is notable among Islamists, Muslims, particularly those referred to as black Muslims, which in so many cases is redundant, you would think, but it's again with Elijah Muhammad and the black Muslims founded in the United States of America, a branch, if you will, of Islam, who insist that Jesus is a white, blue-eyed devil, and so on and so forth. And then other heresies from them saying, you know, that black people, black men in particular, black men need a black God, a black Savior, and all of this. Of course, the false prophet Muhammad was not that, but that's beside the point. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. One Savior for all peoples, all kindreds, all races, all nations of people, all languages of people, all ethnicities, if you want to refer to that. Both sexes, of which there are only two. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. So if we want to be saved some other way by someone else, we are deceiving ourselves, fooling ourselves. And there is a price associated with that deceit. But the Lord God Almighty said unto Abraham, Abram, whom he renamed Abraham, and his wife Sarah, who had been named Sarai, but whom he renamed Sarah. And he viewed man and woman, husband and wife, as one. And would call them Abraham, as he called Adam and Eve, Adam. And he said unto them, he said unto Abraham, but this made its way to Sarah, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. In thy seed, not Ishmael of Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid, but in thy seed of faith, the miraculous conception, the miraculous begetting, and miraculous conception, and miraculous birth of Isaac, and all the way down the line to the miraculous conception by Mary, with the miraculous begetting by the Holy Ghost, the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. All peoples. It's amazing how, and horrible, how down through the ages there has been this slander waged against Christianity, and in many instances within Christianity, concerning the matter of races. The Lord God Almighty is the Lord God of all races of peoples. And he gave the Lord Jesus Christ to become Savior for all peoples who should choose to believe on him, receive him as their Savior and Lord, obey him, honor him, worship him, serve him. The Lord God Almighty, contrary to what some will say, never encouraged the mingling of races. And in fact, even specifies certain peoples that are given want to that. And it's being greatly promoted in this nation, the United States of America, and around the world throughout the highly developed nations, the sophisticated nations, the Western nations. It's being really pushed heavily right now as a cause celeb. But that was never encouraged by God throughout his word. Never his intention. Well, just put them all together. Let's muddy the waters. Let's take all of those colors of paint and put them all together. And we come out with something that looks like gray or something, you know, perfect, perfection of beauty. But God Almighty created we peoples, and God Almighty gave the Lord Jesus Christ to be Savior for all peoples. And the Lord Jesus Christ, begotten by the Holy Ghost, conceived in the Hebrew of Hebrews, Mary. He was given for all peoples, from the chosen people of God, from the chosen people who left so very much to be desired, and who sinned so grievously against him that he allowed them to be destroyed, overthrown, taken captive time and time and time again, after pleading with them to obey him and obey his word, and having given prophets upon prophets upon prophets, to hazard their lives in attempting to persuade the peoples to obey God, to spare them from destruction. But in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. In every kindred, in every race, in every family, in every nation, in every people, there are those who will choose to believe and be saved. And in every one of them, there are others who will refuse and resist and reject the love of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in every one of them, you can find some who will dedicate their lives to warring against God and against his Christ and against those who believe on him. But unto you, Jews, here in the temple, first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. God Almighty intended, always intended, and prepared his chosen people not only to believe on him, honor him, obey him, but to make him known to the rest of the peoples of the world. But instead, so very many of these people adopted the wicked, evil, monstrous ways of the pagan heathen peoples about, which is one reason for this great push for intermarriage. It was pushed back then, it's pushed now, but not by God, but what was true at the beginning is true now. God is the author and finisher of all things. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There is only one way to eternal salvation. There is only one way into the kingdom of God. No other. There's only one kingdom of God. There's only one true God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to salvation. And if we believe the lies of the enemy of our souls and heed and obey and serve Satan and his minions and the false religions and cults and what have you, we will do so to our destruction and our eternal damnation. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Lord and King, Master Savior, have mercy on us. Open the eyes of our understanding. Give us enlightenment from thee to know the truth. Impart thy gift of faith to us, which can move mountains. Lead us, guide us, direct us into all truth. Be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lift us up and make us whole. Give us life and life more abundantly, and grant that we may serve thee faithfully and truly. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming and to serve thee together forever. In Jesus' holy name, soon coming King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Amen.